Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God has a word over you. He has spoken through eternity. He's talking to you. He's been talking to us and talking to us. He's been giving us His Word. He's been giving us His Word. And I will tell you this morning, a lot of those words that were up there on the screen, if you haven't lived through that, sometimes it's hard to understand what that's saying. Because there's some young folks in the house, but as you get older, you begin to live through some of these things, and these are real things. And He actually becomes a sanctuary for us. How many say amen to that? How many know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower? The righteous run into it, and the Bible says that they're safe. Is that right? Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Know this morning, that God is speaking so that we might hear this morning, that the word of the Lord, the word coming to us this morning, that He's saying, look, I am here for you. I really, really am here for you. I'm not just something that you do just on Sunday morning. I am something that you, I am He that is in control of your life. And I you can worship me Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, twice on Monday, twice on Tuesday, twice on Wednesday, twice on Thursday, twice on Friday, because He's a glorious God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's worthy to be worshiped. Hallelujah. Not just on Sunday. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
8 days a week.
8 days a week. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, diving deep into the Word. Hallelujah. That's that was a kid's theme yesterday. Diving deep into the Word of God. Folks, I mean, how many of you want to dive deep in the Word of God? How many of you want to know what God is saying to you? How many want that personal time where God says, yeah, I'm talking to you? Hey, man, come on, man. I want God to talk to me this morning. I'm hoping that somehow, somewhere in the things that I stayed up in the middle of the night listening for God, watching for God. By the way, I've got 3 scriptures God gave me this morning. I'm going to have to give them to you because, hey, you know what? I'm one of those scatterbrained preachers. How many know that? I am a scatterbrained preacher. You can sit down. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sit down. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a scatterbrained preacher. Hallelujah. Because God will give me words, and He'll give me words, and He'll give me another word. And as I write them down, as I take them down this morning, as I was walking, He gave me 3 more scriptures. And I said, I already turned in my list, Lord. Should have told me this morning. I should have told me while I was up writing down things down. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Some folks have said, hey, you're kind of a rabbit trail guy. You guys know what I mean by rabbit trail? You kind of go over here and you kind of go over there, you go over there, go there. Praise God, man. I'm going to say, you know, I will say this to you. Yeah, I'm a rabbit trail preacher. I do. I mean, I will pour out scripture. I will give it because, you know, I don't know the hearts like He knows the hearts. He knows who's sitting in here. So I don't mind Him giving me scripture that way. You talk about a scatterbrained preacher. Look at Jesus' first sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's all over the place. It's got everything in it, man. So hallelujah. Yeah, I'm a scatterbrained preacher, so that's okay. Come on, man. It's important, folks, that you listen. Listen for the voice of the Lord speaking to you this morning. Can I tell you how important it is? Because God is trying to build you. He is trying to strengthen you. He is trying to replace those things that are troubling you and put something in there that's good. How many know that God wants to give you good things? Do you know that? Do you know that He's not interested and He's not going to try to give you things that are going to tear you down, hold you down, that's going to weigh your spirit down? He's not trying to do that to you. If there's things that are weighing your spirit down, I mean, I don't think that's God. Even in Jeremiah, there's a word where it says, oh, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord. And God finally said, quit saying the burden of the Lord. Stop it. Because God's not trying to put something heavy on you. He's trying to lift you and build you and strengthen you. But sometimes we take it in our spirits that we have this negative thing going on in our lives, and it continues to roll and roll. And can I tell you something? That can be a distraction to who you are. Because you allow that negative thing to roll and roll and roll and roll. And guess what's going on? All that time that you're letting it roll, you're missing the things that God would be saying to you, the great and glorious things. Hallelujah. So if you will, take a posture this morning where you kind of lean into the Word of God. Lean into what's being said this morning. I'm not a great preacher. But I will tell you something. God has given me some things to speak to the Word, to the body of Christ this morning. I don't need to be great. I'm squeaking, aren't I? I'm sorry, Steve. He told me, stay behind these dots right here. I said, I will, man. I'm sorry, bro.
He knows exactly what we need.
God is doing a great thing. Amen. How many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But God is moving on us to move us into the future. How many know that? He's desiring to strengthen you for those things that are coming towards us. Hallelujah. Oh, you got to hear this. So like I say, if you would take a posture of leaning in and listen to what's going to be said to you this morning, if you will, open your Bibles to, I believe it is Matthew chapter 11. Glory to God. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to give you three scriptures. Katie, I'm going to be asked for Exodus 33:14. 1 Chronicles 16:27 and Jeremiah 5:22, if you will, okay? hallelujah. Hey, take notes. Take notes in the Word of God, you know, because a lot of times you'll forget. I do know the difference between the spiritual mind and the natural mind. And some of you might not get this, but God does not try to speak to your natural mind. He doesn't even want to go there. He wants to go into your heart. He wants to speak directly in your heart. That's why you might get out of church and head out for lunch and you're sitting around the table and somebody said, hey, I didn't make it to church today. What did pastor preach about? You know, and you have this little, has anybody ever done this? You got the little phase out. You can't remember what it was. Have you ever done that? It's because your mind is not being, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. That's the way he speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. God knows our heart. He knows what's going on in our heart. So that's where he speaks. Isn't that cool? It's a cool thing. It really is. I said, God, I don't claim to be a brainiac in these things. All I know is the things that God speaks to my heart. And I'm not trying to get you to convince you to believe the way I believe. I'm not. That's not what I'm here for. I am here to inspire you in the Word of God so that you can take a look at the Word of God and say, yeah, I kind of get this. Oh, yeah, I'm understanding. I don't know what's going on, but it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that for you. And that's cool, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. God is building his church, and it's him. It's got to be the Holy Spirit, only by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why you shouldn't be led by men. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God's not trying to get you to be led around by a man. He is trying to lead you and guide you by his Spirit so that he can do you good in your latter days. Is that cool? Amen. Ah, praise God. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And if you will, just look at your neighbor and say, keep diving. Keep diving. Keep diving. Kids talked about diving deep into the Word of God. Everybody go, yeah, everybody, can you do that? Nobody's going to do that. That's okay. Dive deep into the Word of God. Dive in there. Get into God's Word. Dive in deep. Hallelujah.
Deep sea
fishing. Come on, man. 8 days a week. Come on, isn't that right?
Nice.
Was that you? 8 days a week. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. I'm gonna read you. You might look on your bulletin. I'm gonna read you the power verse this morning. And it's supposed to be anyway, I'll just read it to you. This is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. But the Word of God in the King James says divers temptations. Is that right? Do you get it? Divers. Come on, man. Oh, it's just not that funny. Yeah. Okay. It's a divers temptation. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And then it goes on to say, let patience have its perfect work. But it's funny because... I put it in there because of the word divers. But it really is something that God is saying to us this morning. Count it all joy. When you see something happening in your life, it feels like it's not so good. Just as Rebecca was talking this morning, it doesn't feel good. But know this, that God says, I am taking you there. I will lead you and guide you through it. He'll hold your hand. He'll actually, you guys have seen that picture of where there's two footsteps in the sand, and all of a sudden there's one, and the Lord says, I was carrying you. And see, that's what he's going to do for you through the trials. Through the temptations, he's going to carry you all the way. He's a wonderful God. How many say amen to that? Amen. He's a wonderful God. He loves you like you've got no idea. He loves you. Praise God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. I said that how many times? Five? Okay, let's read that. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many like rest? Anybody like to rest? Everybody say, hey, man, you come into the church, I see some of you asleep, you're resting already. That's nice. That's nice. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I love to rest. I have a few resting places. When I worked at the mine, I had a little resting place. And over at my house, I have a few places that I like to rest. But Jesus is talking about a different kind of rest. He's not talking about a natural rest. He's talking about a spiritual rest. But there also has to be a natural rest. How many know it's good for you to rest? I mean, you got to take time to allow your body to relax. Amen. You have to. And I would suggest, you know, I'm gonna ask you to do something for yourself this week. And you can say, well, it's because Pastor asked me to do it. Take an extra hour, 1 hour. I'm asking you, just to get some rest. Do nothing. Get your face out of your phone. Is that okay? Don't get mad at me when I say that. Get your face out of your phone, turn it off, and just set it down and find a place just to relax. Just do nothing. Is that okay? And I want to hear about it. Okay? Because I think that if you do that every day this week, you're going to find some of those things that you've been doing, you just don't really need to do them. Is that right? That they've just been kind of a little extra load. How many ever had a little extra load on you?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody? That's what Jesus is talking about right here. He says, come unto me, you that are heavy laden. They got a load on you. And he wants to give you rest. Do you know that he likes to give you rest? He wants you not only to rest your body, but he also wants your spirit to rest. Because we can get very active. How many know that? How many know that? We can get so active, we're doing so many things, and the Lord hasn't even told us to do it. Isn't that crazy? But we want to do it for Jesus. Come on, I'm doing this for Jesus. Yeah, you're wearing yourself out, bro. Is that right? God might even be saying, I'm not even asking you to do that. You're assuming that I'm asking you that. I'm not asking you that. Will you relax, God would say. How many like that? How many like God would say to you, relax? Ooh, that's a good word for you this morning. Take it easy, Ese. Come on, man. Yeah. Relax. Kick back a little bit, man. I mean, it's important that you, because you know what? You take an hour of a day every week just to kick back and relax. I'm going to tell you something. The stress level in your life is going to begin to push, push, push. God knows what we need. And this morning, I really feel the Lord saying, tell my people they need to rest. Just take it easy. I will lead them. I will guide them. I will tell them what to do. I will give them an avenue, a light on their path so they can walk. I'll show it to them. But they got to relax. Let me lead. Most of the time, we're pulling Jesus with a chain. Come on, God. Because I didn't want to go there. Come on, man. So he says that. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many like that? What he does is easy and it's light. Why are we finding it so difficult to do some of the things for the Lord? Maybe we're coming at it in the wrong mindset, attitude, whatever. But I do know that when he first called me, one of the things is I could not quit drinking. You guys know that. I've told you that 100 times. So I want to go to Isaiah chapter 1. And let's take a look at these scriptures, if you will. Isaiah chapter 1. And what I want to do is I want to just kind of spell out this word rest. So the first word we're going to look at with God, we're going to call R, if you will. So you can write this down if you're taking notes. R is for refreshing. Okay, R, refreshing. Because I'm going to tell you, God is calling you into a place of rest. And that rest is going to give you a refreshment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get up in the morning, you get up out of bed, and you had a really good night's sleep. Anybody having one of those? When was the last time you had a really good night's sleep?
Last night.
And you wake up feeling what?
Refreshed.
God's wanting to do that for you. You know, there's scriptures in the Bible that talks about your sleep. Do you know that? Find them. Claim them. Say, God, this is what your word says, so I'll take it. This is mine. But refreshing is the first thing he wants to do. But Isaiah chapter 1, I want you to look at this. That's what the word of God says. It says, wash you and make you clean. How many of you know that we can't wash ourselves? How many know that? But we can make a decision to go in a direction that will get us clean. Because when he says we're heavy laden and burdened, you know what? Sin is a heavy weight to try to carry around. How many know that? When you do something wrong, you know you've done it. And then what happens, there's an enemy out there that he likes to keep bugging you about it. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah. But you liked it, didn't you? Come on, man. You know what? That's what the enemy does that to you. And so he's bugging you. And so it turns into a weight you're carrying around. How many know that? It's a heavy thing to try to carry around with you. And God's saying, no, I don't want you carrying anything like that. That's what Jesus said, and my burden is light. I don't want you carrying these weights. Sin is a weight. God sent his son specifically to die for your sins so that weight would no longer be on you. How many say amen to that? Amen. Come on, man. How many say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Hallelujah. I was lost. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. And a weight has been taken off of me. So he says, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings, is what he says, from before my eyes. Cease to do what? Evil. Just stop doing, he says. How many know that the eyes of the Lord, they see everything? Can I will say this to you. You cannot hide. You can't hide. You ever seen an ostrich stick its head in a hole? They think they're hiding. Big old bird out there. We cannot get away from the eyes of the Lord. How many know that? He sees it all. He knows. He sees your heart. So he says, just stop doing evil. He says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. This is the Lord speaking. Let us reason together. I love this scripture. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. What's scarlet? It's a deep red color. Though they be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. I gotta say, you got a word for that. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. See, God's not being mean to us when he says you will be devoured with a sword, because if you refuse and rebel, more likely the words that are going to be coming out of your own mouth will be the same words that will devour you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Because the words that we speak, the words that we speak take us in a direction that we shouldn't go. So if you refuse and rebel, God is saying, you will be devoured with the sword. The words in your mouth is like a sword. How many say amen to that? How many need to learn how to keep your sword in the sheath? Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Myself included. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. My wife will give me an eye. I go, oh, I take that back, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. My wife has to tell me. But he says this, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let me just say, where he says, can you go back a little bit, where he says, learn of me. When I gave my heart to the Lord, one of the things the Lord took drinking out of my life. And he replaced it with his spirit. God came to live in my heart, and I didn't have, that's why I know that anybody that's drinking alcohol and is in bondage to alcohol, anybody, And they can't seem to get away from it, so they try, and they go to all sorts of different programs and everything. I know that the Holy Spirit can take that and just take it right out of them at an instant, and they would be different. Well, you know why? I'm just saying because it happened to me, so I know he can do it. But even though I'd quit drinking, I was still, I don't know how to say it in Spanish, corojudo. What's that mean? Corojudo. What is corojudo? Anybody know what corojudo?
Stubborn.
Yeah. I was a stubborn and I was an angry man. Ask Rosie wherever she's at. Ask her. I was a Christian and I would throw tools. I worked in a garage. I'd get mad and I'd throw tools. And I would do things that were so you're a Christian? Yeah. What was that just flew by here? That was my wrench. Don't worry about it. Over there looking around the shop trying to find my wrench. And see, I had to learn. How many know that? You got to learn. God will touch your life, but he says, come to me, and learn of me. That's what he said. So I throw a wrench here and there. I do something different and throw a fit, get mad about something. One time I was trying to start a riding mower that I had that was given to me, and I said, man, and it kept dying and kept dying. So I proceeded to start kicking it. I wasn't cussing. I was not cussing. But I was, you stupid machine. And right at that time, Rebecca opened the door and said, Dad, it's time to eat. And I saw her looking at me, and she goes, oop. And she closed the door. So when I went in, and I felt the Lord, anger. You got to deal with your anger. I said, I don't get angry, I get frustrated, God. Yeah, have you ever talked to God like that? He'll tell you something. He said, no, you got it wrong. I'm not like that. I just get a little frustrated, gets a little hand, but I'm not angry. Come on, I was angry, and he would tell me about it. I had to go and tell my daughter, I'm sorry for that disgusting display of emotion. That's what I told her. I said, and she said, Dad. But one day I was out, and you guys have heard this story before, but I was trying to mow a piece of grass that was in front of my house. It was monsoon season like it is now. The grass had grown up really high, and the mower would only cut about 6 inches because the blade needed to be sharpened. So it kept dying. And this last time, it would not start. So I got mad. I got mad. And I grabbed it by the handlebar, and I just started spinning around with it. I spun about 4 or 5 times and whew, pitched it over a barbed wire fence that was there, and when it hit, the tires broke on it, and I go, yeah, and I was all happy about it. And the Lord said to me, that was anger. I said, I don't get angry, I get frustrated, God, I'm getting mad at you for this. And I turned around, my son was pulling a little wooden train, and he was backing up. And when I looked at him, I go, ooh, and I felt the Lord say, if you got him wrong, around one more time, you would have hit him. And that was a lawnmower. Could have killed him. And I realized at that moment, I said, God, I got an anger problem. Can you help me? And the Word of God says, learn of me. He, by the Word of God, began to speak scriptures into my life. I got mad at a man up at the mine, and he was saying stuff about me, and he goes, because he remembered me before I gave my heart to the Lord, and he says, I remember, Henry, hey man, you used to be a little devil, which I was. He wasn't lying. He goes, you used to be a little devil, but now you think you're an angel, is what he told me, just like that. And I said, Lord, give me a scripture so I can cut this guy in half. Lord, let fire come down from heaven. I mean, you guys know, just that Elijah. Let's do an Elijah on this guy. Let's do a barbecue right here in front of everybody. Come on, God. And you know what the Lord told me? He gave me a word. I didn't like it because the word he gave me was this: the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And whoo, man, I tell you, I said, well, shut my mouth. I mean, come on, man. So you see, You take the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to train you and to teach you things. Because God is trying to teach us, but we've got to use the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you stay in the Word of God. Don't try to use, you know, the daily news or whatever. You know, and don't get me wrong. I like certain authors, I do. But most of the time in a book that's written by man, I'll read it for a while. But most of the time it's going, okay, whatever, man. I'll go back to the Word of God. Because the Word of God, there's such a... It is breathed by the Spirit of God. How many know that? Hallelujah. So, Acts chapter 3:19. So this is, he says, hey, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be pure like snow. How many say amen to that? Amen. Can I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, he took your sins and he washed them away. They're totally, your sin thing is done. All you need to do is learn of him. Learn about him. Allow him to take you and teach you and instruct you by his word. Because the word of God has a cleansing effect in you. It's, I've been washed by the water of the word. Hallelujah. It's pretty cool. Here's what it says in the Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Amen? How many say amen to that? Amen. When times of what? Refreshing. We're in our right now. So refreshing shall come from the presence of God. Amen? How many say amen to that? Because I'm going to tell you something. If there's anything I know, when I get into God's presence, there is a refreshing. Sister Sue talking today, when she heard that word, she said it was such a, is that right? It just gone out. When you hear the Lord speak to you, it is so power. It's so refreshing. It's something that is like, nothing to describe, because it is the creator of the universe spoke into your heart and said something to you, and I was, oh, I am good. I am good, because you know that God is watching over you, and it's so cool. Amen? Oh, man, God is good. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to E, rest. E, going into rest, and one of the things, and... This is where the scriptures I'm going to give you. Uh-huh. The presence of the Lord is in the place of rest. How many know? I mean, when you do a spiritual rest, when you say, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to just sit here in front of you. I'm going to tell you, even though you know I'm God, you already know what I need. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to talk to you. And I'm just going to sit here and relax. And a lot of times if you just talk to him like that, the presence of God, you'll sense the presence of God coming in towards you. It's really, really something. Amen. Really is something. Amen. Don't let your mind wander off. Don't try running around in your mind. Just allow God to, I mean, say, I know it might sound like, hey, dude, he's teaching meditation up there. No, I'm not. I'm talking about just finding the presence of the Lord. I'm just telling him, that's what it is. I remember a brother telling me that, and... He said that he was on his bed and the Lord was speaking to him. And then he got up to get off and to go into another room. And the Lord called him and said, just stay here. Stay a little longer. Stay a little longer. I got more to talk to you. And that little statement that man gave me has remained in my spirit. That God is always wanting to talk to us and to tell you a little bit more about him. So the presence of God is so important to you. When you enter into rest, you know, it's one thing to rest your body, but to rest the presence of the Lord is probably the most important part of this, is finding the presence of the Lord. And that is something that, I wish I could really describe it to get you there if you never experienced it. So what I'm telling you this morning, the best I can do is just say, talk to him. Tell him what's going on. He already knows. And then just be quiet. Just stay quiet. If your mind tries to go to a thing, a problem or whatever, just say, not now. I am resting before God. Open the Bible. Read a couple of scriptures. Read something. But stay in that position. And I believe you're going to find that God begins to speak to you. You're going to find it. Matter of fact, I'm counting on it. As a matter of fact, I feel the Lord saying, I will meet you if you will Relax. Exodus 33:14. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. He said, in enlightening, in his presence. He said, this is Moses. He told Moses, he goes, hey, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. It's the presence of God that we're looking for. We really are. And he will give you rest. When you find it, you're going to find, there's going to be find great rest for your soul. When God begins to speak these things to me, and I don't know, I can't tell you how the washing begins to happen while God is speaking the things that he has for the Sunday morning service. It's just incredible to me. And I said, God, man, you got somebody else who can do these things for you, man. But don't get me wrong. I love this stuff. I really do. First Chronicles 16:27 says this. Sorry. Glory and honor are in his presence. Do you hear that? Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Isn't that cool? Glory and honor, and then strength and gladness. And I can tell you my experience with the Lord, this is exactly right. Glory and honor are in his presence. Begin to glorify God. I say, God, man, you're so good. You've been so good to me. Honor you, Father. I'm honoring you, man. God, I will do whatever you want me to do. And then all of a sudden, there's this strength that comes to you, and there's gladness. It's pretty cool. Hallelujah. Last one is Jeremiah 5:22. These are the three scriptures God gave me this morning. So I know there's somebody here that needs these things. And it says this, fear ye not me? God is saying, will you not be afraid of me? How many are afraid of God? I mean, I'll tell you what. I really do believe this, that we've got no idea of who he is. We know he loves us. We know he sent his son to die for us. We know. But he is the one that created the heavens and the earth. He is so much bigger than we've ever thought of, we can even think of. And I was telling somebody the other day, I talked to so many people during the week that I was telling them the other day, I said, you know what? There's like 7 billion people on the earth, and God knows each one of them personally, knows their heart. Is that an amazing thought? Just to think, say, God, this is the God we serve. Somebody was afraid that, hey, what if somebody comes into your church and tries to shoot people up? I say, see, you got something. I don't really need to have all these security measures in place because I've already got a security system. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. I believe God controls the hearts of men. I believe that. I believe he can deter anything as long as I put my trust in him. Put my trust in an electric fence out there to keep, and you know what? It's going to fail. God never fails. Glory to God. It says this, will you fear me not, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? I'm going to tell you, as much as I love God, and if I was to see him today, stand in his presence, I would feel just like what it shows in the scriptures, how the men of God, they fell on their faces, man. And they couldn't even get up, man. They said, man. And the angel had to walk over and say, hey, don't be afraid. Get up. You know, it's only God. Yeah, right. Come on, man. It says, will you not fear me? Says the Lord, will you not tremble at my presence? And then he says, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that cannot pass by it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. God is saying, I am the one that controls all of this stuff. That ocean, as big as it is, how many have been seeing the ocean this year so far? Anybody? Okay, sorry. That's a bunch of water, man. That's a lot of water. And he is saying that, amen, I control this thing. Because of me, it won't go over. It won't pass over the boundary that I've set for it unless I want it to. That's God. Isn't that cool? He says, will you not fear me? Will you not tremble, he says, in my presence? And there have been times when I found myself in the presence of God just trembling. And God, what are you saying to me? What is it you're saying? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. I want to read through these. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Paul is talking to the Ephesians, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. How many say amen to that? God wants to give it. God, Paul the Apostle is praying for us also. He said that you, God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that's our word, being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Is that it? Yeah. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know all of that. He wants to enlighten you. He wants to show you. And I will tell you, you know where that's going to happen? That's going to happen in his presence. When you find yourself and you go and you spend time with the Lord in his presence, you're going to find that he's there to speak to you, to show you things that you had never seen before. I want to show you this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2, 9, and 10. This is what, check this out. And I speak this scripture to a lot of folks because a lot of people, you really don't know what God has placed within you. We just don't know. And then he says, but as is written, eye has not seen, ear had not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. See that? God has placed things within you. They're already there. They just need to be revealed to you. How many say amen to that? And I use this all the time. The cell phone is a good example. How many of you know exactly everything that your cell phone can do? I don't think there's too many that know that. Yeah, come on, man. Nah, there might be. That know exactly everything that those technicians back in wherever they built that phone have placed into that phone for you to use all the apps, all the different things. I don't know if there's a lot of people that know everything that cell phone can do. But the fact is, they're there. Is that right? It's there, accessible. And then you figure something out. Oh, my God. And you go, hey, man, check this out. Let me show you how this works. You know, you go show your friends and everything because you learned something new. And see, that's kind of like who you are. God has placed so many things within you, but they're hidden. And it says here, I'm going to start it again at the beginning. It says, as is written, eyes not seen, ears heard, neither heard, have entered into the heart of the man. The things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us by what? His Spirit. That's how he reveals them to us. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You got to dive deep. Is that right? We're diving deep. This is what the Holy Spirit does in your time. When you're in his presence, when you're seeking him, and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will begin to open things up to you, to show you the things that he has for you. Can I tell you how much we need to be in the presence of God so that God can do exactly that? Hallelujah. That's the E. We're going to go to the S. We're going to go. There's strength in the house. There's strength in the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7. Strength. How many want strength? How many want to be strong in the Lord and power of his might? I'm telling you something. As I've told a lot of folks, your age has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Can I tell you that? You are who you are in Christ. If you will quit telling yourself that you're an old man, remember that sword he was talking about? That sword will devour you. Quit telling yourself these things. As you get older, you start losing your mind. Come on, man. That sword is going chop, chop. Yeah, come on, man. Hey, no way. Who says that? Does it say that in Scripture? Does the Word of God say that you are losing everything? You're going to lose your mind? No, it doesn't. The Word of God says that, you know, hey, he says that God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but he's giving you love and power. And what's his word? A sound mind. That's a sound mind. So whenever you get that feeling to say that or it comes out of your mouth, say, no, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. God has given me a sound mind. Amen? Come on. It's not hard. Just believe God for us. Crazy. This is Isaiah 30 verse 7 says, the Egyptian shall help in vain and to no purpose. Can I tell you something? You can go into the world and try to get all the help you want. Ignore God. But the purposes that God has for you will not show up, and they definitely won't give you a purpose. You might think you got a purpose. Just like Paul the Apostle thought he had a purpose. He says, man, I'm going to go get them Christians and haul them in here. But when God got a hold of him, Paul the Apostle wrote down later, he says, man, everything that I learned, I count it as manure. It's not compared to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's cool, man. So the Egyptians, they help in vain. The world can't not help you. He says this, therefore, I've cried concerning this. This is the Lord speaking. Their strength is to do what? Siéntate. Sit still. Relax. Take a pill. Bill. Chill. Jill. Come on. You guys awake? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Then verse 15, I think it was. Is that verse 15? It says, for thus saith the Lord. This is the same reading. If you get a chance to read Isaiah 30, it's a beautiful thing. It says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest. Do you hear that? Returning to the Lord and resting shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. He was saying, man, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to be. But see, people, we have a tendency to not go there. And so then he says, but you wouldn't go. But you would not. But I believe better things today. Amen? I believe because you've seen it on this, because you know these things, that you're going to be spending more time in the presence of God. It's cool, man. Because there's strength in that. You know how we talked about the natural hour? I'm wondering how many of you will turn that into a spiritual hour. Because of all the things that are within that hour. Come on, man. Do you hear what I'm saying? God will take the opportunity to strengthen you, to build you, to give you things that you never thought you'd have. And plus, your body will go into a relax because you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is behind you. He's for you. He's not against you. Praise God. Psalm 16:11 says this. Hallelujah. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Where? In thy presence, it says. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are what? Pleasures evermore. See, God has got great things for you, but you got to let him show them to you. You got to let him take you there. Woo, hallelujah. He said, you will show me the path of life. And then he said, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. And if you've got joy, what do you got? You know what joy? Next scripture right here says this. Nehemiah 8:10 says this. And he said to them, go your way, eat the fat. How many? Forget that part, okay? Eat the fat, drink the sweet. Forget that part. All right, it says, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Let's do that. Let's send portions for people that don't have anything. Amen? We can do that. Well, I'm on the keto diet, poquito diet. Anyway, it says, for this day is holy unto our God. And then he says, neither be sorry. And then he says this, for the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
It's your strength. You go into the presence of God, that's where the fullness of joy is. And joy is your strength. Does that call you into the presence? I mean, I'm telling you, this should be calling you into the presence of God like crazy. It's pretty cool, man. Hallelujah. Let's move over to T. We'll be done here in a minute. How many say amen? You guys okay with 3:30? Come on. Trust. T for trust. Amen. Refreshing, enlightening strength and trust. Psalm 62, verse 8 says this. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a what? refuge for us. We sang it this morning. God is a sanctuary. He is a refuge. Isn't that cool? Trust in Him at all times. Amen? What does all mean? Does that mean all? Does it mean everything? Does it, brother? It means everything at all times. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own what? Can I tell you, your own understanding is the part that's going to get you in trouble with God? Can I say that to you? Don't lean on it. Don't allow it to hold you up. Don't allow your own understanding and the things and the details that are happening in your life. Don't let your understanding of what's going on. Because I'm going to tell you, let's say you're just arguing with somebody. You've got no idea what that person's had, what he's gone through, what he's walked through. I mean, you know, can you say amen to that? You've got no idea. You don't know. But you're going on your own understanding. So you say, man, that guy's a jerk. He is a, you know, and the fact of the matter is he could be the greatest guy if you just got to know him. Is that right? I told you about my donut incident where I was having a donut and I tried to get a friend of mine to scoot over and he grabbed my hard hat and tossed it across the room. I go, yeah, you. And so I grabbed his hard hat, tossed it across the room. He grabbed my pins, my nerd pack, pulled them out, and they went flying. The guy's on the other side of the room. I go, hey, what's going on over there? I was in the middle of trying to pull his nerd pack out when my supervisor walks in. So I just sat down right next to him. And like I said, I don't know where that donut ended up. I don't know where it went. All I know is I had a donut in my hand before, but I didn't have it afterwards. And I'm breathing and I'm breathing. And we got lined out for our jobs, and I was sent to the crane, and I was up in the crane, and I saw my friend Bob, who I just got to do. I saw him walking in the driveway 75 feet below me. So I said, you know what? I parked the crane, and I took off, and I went down some stairwells to meet him. And he had just walked by the last stairwell, and I called him, looking at his back, and I said, Bob, because the Lord had told me, go tell him you're sorry. And I go, Bob. He turns around, looks at me, goes, come on. I go, no, man, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on, but I just need to tell you I'm sorry. He became that day one of my best friends. He was just a good man. He passed away, and I did his eulogy. And so you don't know. We really don't know circumstances. We really can't lean on our own understanding. We need to just trust in the Lord with all our heart. Don't let your emotions get out of hand. Is that okay? Is that okay? Come on, man. I believe God's talking to you. And the last verse we're going to read today is Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. It says this, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's the presence of God. The secret place of the Most High is where God is. That's where He is. That's His dwelling place. And He says, and so if you make it your dwelling place, can I tell you, man, God is going to do things for you like you've never seen before. He says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my sanctuary, my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust. Folks, I do know this, that God loves you more than you can even fathom. I know that. And He's trying to get, the only way He communicates with us, folks, listen, it's His word. It's His word. It's His word. That's the only way He can. That's the only avenue. See, how many know God's invisible? It's the only avenue that He can really communicate with us. He's not showing us a lot of burning bushes anymore. How many know that? We're not seeing the seas being opened up like they used to be. Can I tell you, signs and wonders are kind of shallow stuff? Do you know that? Do you know that signs and wonders that God sometimes shows, like the opening of the sea? How long after that those people that walk through that thing, they're turning around and telling Moses, hey man, we won't go back to Egypt. We're tired of it out here. We don't like the manna. You keep taking us to where we're almost dying of thirst. We don't like it out here. We want to go back to Egypt. So signs and wonders aren't the, you know what? Signs and wonders aren't the thing that God's after for you to see. God is after your heart to open up to Him and say, "Hey, God, I love you. I'll do anything you'd want. Just tell me." How many say amen to that? Amen. How many want to do what God wants for you? Word of God says this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God, I want to do, God, what you want me to do. Even if it's preaching, even if it's pastoring a church where I feel so unqualified, even if it's that, I'll do it, Lord. Because it's you. Because you've asked. It's your will, not mine. Would you stand? You heard a message today about God desiring to get you into His place. He's desiring to take you into where He can actually put His arms around you, and you can sense who He is, and you can sense the love that He has for you, even stronger than you ever had, because God is saying, "I've got so much for you. I want to help you. I want to take you through whatever you're going through," because folks, I know there's folks out here that are going through stuff. I know that. But God is saying, "I will take you through it. I will help you through it. I will show you what to do. I will speak to your heart, and I will cause you to ride above it." Isn't that cool? So if you would bow your heads. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, God. Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to hear what you had to say today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'm asking you that you would touch each and every heart. Lord, that the words that you've spoken to their hearts today, God, that you would, Father God, write those words just like you've said. I will write my word in their hearts and in their minds. Because, Father, it is your word that keeps us and holds us and builds a sanctuary around us, Father. We thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. If there's anybody here this morning that's never given your heart to the Lord, we're going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody to say it so that we can encourage whoever might has never given their hearts to the Lord just to speak out. So I need everybody speaking this morning. And if you are the person that's never spoken, never asked Jesus to into your heart, if that's you, tell somebody after when we dismiss, tell somebody, "Hey, I asked Jesus into my heart. I asked God to come in and to cleanse me and wash me, and I believe that He did that." So if let's just pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you, a sinner. Father, I know that Jesus paid for my sins. I believe that He washed my sins away. He died, was buried, and Father, you resurrected Him. And now He sits at your right hand. Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's give Him a hand. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, sing with us just for a second.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.